Hello and welcome to this service coming to you from St Martin's Church, North Nibley, on this, the first Sunday after Trinity. The Lord be with you, and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the full service of God. Jesus said, "Before you offer your gift, go and be reconciled." As brothers and sisters in God's family, we come together to ask our Father for forgiveness. Together we pray. Now, in order so that we can pray together, because you might be unfamiliar with this version, I'll say a phrase and then I'll leave a space and you can say it in your head or out loud so that we are actually saying it together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. The collect for the first Sunday after Trinity, that special prayer written for today. God of truth, help us to keep your law of love and to walk in the ways of wisdom, that we may find true life in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Now, we are now going to listen to Psalm 33, and it is a praising psalm. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp, make music to him on the ten-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars and puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of his people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. The first reading is from Romans chapter 4, verse 9 to the end. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into beings things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Here endeth the lesson. So we now come to our gospel. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 9, beginning at 9:18. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. He'd just called Matthew to be a disciple, but Matthew was a tax collector, and so the Pharisees went straight into it. Why, they screamed at the disciples, why is he eating with sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not healthy. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, I've come to call sinners. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, said Jesus. Yeah. But what does that mean? Let's start with the last line of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The original Hebrew used the word he said. But it's difficult to pin down exactly what the word translates to in English. Mercy, steadfast love, goodness, kindness, loyalty, they all come under the Hebrew word he said. In the Gospel passage, Jesus says he desires mercy, not sacrifice, but remember, the original Hebrew translates as mercy, steadfast love, loyalty, kindness, and goodness. So Jesus expects that all of those things should be in everything that we do to everyone that we meet. We should show mercy to those who've wronged us. We should show steadfast love to all. Remember, love thy neighbour as thyself. We should be loyal to Jesus and our faith. We should be kind to everyone. We should be filled with goodness and do only good to others. All of these things should be in everything that we do. But what about the sacrifice bit? I desire mercy, not sacrifice, said Jesus. God wants us to do the he said part of it. And in doing so, we will need to sacrifice ourselves. We will need to sacrifice time, effort, but not at the expense of the he said part of it. Jesus isn't interested in us just sacrificing time and effort. We need to do the work that goes with it. The loving people. The being good to people, the mercy to people. When I'm wheeled in to do the tea tent at the fete or whatever, I'm working away, seemingly doing the he said part of it, exuding love and mercy and goodness from every pore for all I'm worth. And it is a sacrifice of my time and effort, a big sacrifice of my time and effort, I feel sometimes. But at the same time as I'm handing out pleasantries, and God's love along with the tea and cake, I'm probably busy judging everybody I'm serving or gossiping about the people I'm working alongside and generally not being very nice. If you are like me and do that sort of thing in your head, then what Jesus said, not in your head even in my case, what Jesus said to the Pharisees might be one to ponder upon. So when Jesus said to the Pharisees, go and learn what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I think that God is asking us for, he said, our steadfast love and mercy. God is only asking us for what God has already given us. Throughout the Old Testament, God shows us again and again that his steadfast love for his people endures forever. God shows us that his goodness and mercy, as he said, follows us all the days of our life. But even that was not enough. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to show us this mercy and love in the flesh. And Jesus shows us again and again his steadfast love and his mercy for all of God's children, and especially for those who need it most. Even in today's gospel reading, we see Jesus doing this when he shows that mercy to the leader of the synagogue by bringing his daughter back to life. And when he shows that very same mercy to the woman who had been suffering hemorrhages for 12 long years. Jesus showed mercy and loving kindness to whoever needed it. Jewish leaders, lepers, Pharisees and fishermen, wealthy and the poor, the tax collectors and the so-called sinners. Jesus showed that same mercy to those who believed and those who didn't believe. Jesus' mercy is steadfast and it is unconditional. And it is for all of God's children. It is why Jesus was born, to show us that love, to offer us that mercy, and to call not the righteous, but the sinners, and to heal the sick, and to raise the dead, and finally, to go to the cross, bearing all of our sins. If that isn't, he said, I don't know what is. If that isn't a steadfast, merciful, kind, good, loyal, everlasting love, I don't know what is. And that is the love that Jesus has for every one of us that he's ever created. Amen. Let us affirm together our common faith in Jesus Christ. And the answer to this, these questions, should you wish to join in, is I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature and died for us and rose again? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? I believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are the body of Christ as this church. By one Spirit we were all baptised into one body. So let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. We come to our time of prayer. Where we pray for the world. God of truth, on this first Sunday after Trinity, may we live out God's love, walking in his wisdom, and demonstrating faith in our daily lives. And Heavenly Father, we pray for your church worldwide, especially in our benefice and in our parish. And we pray for Bishop Rachel and Robert and all your church and all those people in your church in the service of Christ. Amen. We ask for your blessing upon King Charles and the royal family. Grant to our King and his government the guidance of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate God, we lift up to you all nations currently affected by war and conflict. Protect the innocent, shelter the vulnerable, and comfort those who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the local food bank and the volunteers and the people at the Long Table Charity in Stroud. And all those volunteers helping to feed people in our community. Thank you for all carers in our community providing strength, patience and compassion to the sick, elderly and vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who suffer in body, mind or spirit, and for people who need our prayers at this time, especially those known personally to us. We pray also for those who have died and may be known only to you. Help those who mourn their loved ones to experience the comfort of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray that you will be with all the students still taking external examinations at the moment, and especially our little children at school with their SAT exams, and our bigger children at KLB and over at Redknock taking exams. We ask that you watch over the children of this parish whilst they are at school this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for what remains of this weekend and for the chance to begin anew. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom in the decisions we will make this week. Heavenly Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom comes, your will be done on those on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, we end our service with the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and those that you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. On the notices, on the 21st of June, which hopefully is a Sunday, at 3 o'clock in the church, we are having a bit of a knees up. We've got the new organ and it should be installed by then. So we are having a 3 o'clock sort of mini service and followed by cream tea. That's got to be an excuse to come, hasn't it? So the mini service is so that we can use the organ for the first time, and we're going to have a bit of a songs of praise. And if you've got any a particular hymn that you would like us to play and sing, then let us know via, I don't know, Sue or John or whoever, or turn up on the day and tell us. Or if you're technical, you can go on church website, I suppose. Anyway, let people know what it is you want. And also we are having, as well as a bit of songs of praise, we're having a mini celebration of Tyndale. So that's all going to be, it's only, the whole thing is the church servicey bit of it is only going to be 40 minutes. And then after that, it'd be cream teas and scones and so on. It's, yeah, I do like church life when it gets like that. Right, good. So hopefully we will see you all there. Bye.